Hey, good morning. First and foremost, I just want to thank the Lightmans again for opening your home.
Pleasure.
Thank you for inviting me back. Really a pleasure to learn together with this lovely group and in this community. I want to thank Ellie Schlamm for continuing to organize these series of Shiurim. Unfortunately, Ellie is not with us, as you know, because her mother-in-law was in the terrace this past summer. And this shiur should be Le'iloi Nishmas, her mother-in-law, Rezal Miriam Bas Baruch Avraham. Additionally, I would like to dedicate this shiur, Le'iloi Nishmas, my first cousin, Abigail Malka Bas Harav Moshe, Dr. Abigail Rock. She unfortunately succumbed to a very long illness, and she was in the terrace this past month, and actually today is her shloshim. Mm-hmm. She had her doctorate in Tanakh, and she spent much of her adult life teaching and disseminating Torah to women, both in Eretz Yisrael and here in the States. And I really offer my kos tanchumim to the entire Rock family, her husband, her relatively young five children, to her siblings, my dear first cousins, to my dear aunt and uncle, Uncle Meshul and Chani, Rabbi and Mrs. Moshe and Chani Kupko of Yerushalayim, and may HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring a nechama to the entire Rock and Kupko families, B'toch Avele Tzion V'Yerushalayim. So any learning that we do here today, any forward growth that Emir Tzashem we accomplish today, should be Le'iloi Nishmas, Harav Moshe, and also Rezal Miriam Bas Baruch Avraham. So speaking of, unfortunately, Avelus, we are in the week of Avelus. We find ourselves a week away from Tisha B'Av. Actually, it is less than a week away because we know that Tisha B'Av this year is a Nidche. So we've gradually acclimated to the idea and to the routine of the rituals associated with mourning. As Rav Soloveitchik points out famously, the period of mourning over the Chorban Beis HaMikdash is really the mirror image, or has the inverse relationship with the mourning over a parent. For a parent, the mourner begins the process of mourning very suddenly and very intensely. During the week of Shiva, then gradually emerges into society during the week of Shloshim, and then gradually decreases that sense of mourning for the year of Avelus. Whereas, when we mourn the Beis HaMikdash, we are not starting off with intense mourning on Tisha B'Av. We are instead, see the inverse relationship, where we start out in a lighter type of mourning period, the beginning part of the 3 weeks, and then we gradually increase in intensity during the 9 days. And then, of course, we culminate with the intense mourning, which is Tisha B'Av. The point being that whereas we mourn for a parent, we decrease the mourning over time. We decrease in intensity over time. When we mourn over the Beis HaMikdash, we increase the mourning over time. The first part of the 3 weeks is equivalent to the year of Avelus that one has for a parent. The 9 days is equivalent to the Shloshim, and Tisha B'Av is equivalent to the week of Shiva. And the reason for this is because Chazal instituted a period of mourning so that we can gradually acclimate to the idea that we actually have to mourn. When somebody mourns for a parent, they don't need to acclimate to the idea that there is a mourning, that there is a void. But when we're speaking about the loss of the Shechina, about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, then we do need a push. We need to gradually increase our mourning and acclimate ourselves to the idea that we are indeed in a period of mourning. We see this connection between the loss of Tzion, our Golus, and the connection between that and the mourning for a loved one. Also, in Lo Aleinu, we have to comfort a mourner, as we just said, Hamakom Minachem, B'toch Sha'ar Avele Tzion V'Yerushalayim. When we comfort a mourner, what we say is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the source of the ultimate Nechama, as the one who is really capable of bringing a Nechama to the one that is mourning, he should bring a nechama to you as he does to those that mourn over Tzion. Meaning that there are those that are in a constant state of mourning over the Chorban. And those that mourn Tzion, that was, will be able to be consoled by Hashem himself. Therefore, even if we do not yet have the Beis HaMikdash, and we are still in exile, and we still do not have that Giloi Shechina, God is providing us with this ray of hope. That is what it means. There is constantly a ray of hope. But how do we tap into those rays? How do we appreciate those rays of nechama from God himself? We can only appreciate that nechama if we feel the loss and the void. If we don't feel a loss, then we don't know what Hashem is being menachem us about. Of course, earlier generations, that loss was more acute when the millions of people were being led in chains out during the first Korban Beis HaMikdash. Did they not feel that loss of life, that independence of dignity, that loss of homeland, that loss of holy places, when millions of people were slaughtered throughout the centuries, like worse than cattle during the Holocaust? Did they not feel more than ever a longing for that redemption? I would suggest, I would guess that they did. And throughout the generations, when Jews have been uprooted from homes and businesses, have become refugees, and expelled from places all over the globe with nothing to call home, I would imagine that they probably pined away for a return to a rebuilt Yerushalayim. So we know that when any tragedy strikes, whether personal or national, private or public, we are reminded of the Chorban. There's a story in the Gemara that talks about Rabbi Gamliel, who was crying incessantly because he witnessed the crying and the pain and the agony of a woman who lost her son. She was inconsolable. And therefore, Rabbi Gamliel cried along with this woman until his eyelashes fell out, the Gemara tells us. Why did he cry? Because he was reminded of the Chorban. But furthermore, says the Ran, he was crying because he realized that every tragedy that we have is a result of the Chorban. This woman's pain was symptomatic of the Chorban that we all feel, that we all experience. It is the exile, and it's the exile and the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash is the source of that tragedy, which is why when we are when we do Nichum Avelim, we say, we invoke the loss of Tzion, because the source of tragedy is the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. We need not look too far to see that we are in a gullus. There is anti-Semitism rearing its ugly head in every corner, from America to Europe, the BDS movement, with unabashed anti-Semites in Congress, with hate crimes, with swastikas being painted on businesses, unprovoked attacks on Jewish individuals, terrorist attacks in Israel. So yes, we do have our challenges, and we have our share of Saros lo aleinu. But in truth, after we hear about these tragedies, and after we finish a mourning process lo aleinu, we do go about our business, and in truth, this gullus that we have is a relatively comfortable gullus. As a whole, we are not being systematically murdered, we are not being systematically evicted from our homes. And because of that, we don't tend to spontaneously cry over the Chorban. We don't tend to yearn deeply for Mashiach. Although I shouldn't say that. There probably are individuals that do. Actually, a friend of mine tells the story to me over and over again. She was at a wedding, and she saw this woman crying under the chuppah, and she somehow struck up a conversation with her, and she said, is everything okay? She looked like she was really sad. She thought she was going through some trouble, and she was crying after a wedding. She went up to the chuppah. There's a skula that you daven under the chuppah. Let me make that clear. And she said to this woman, why are you crying? And she says, I'm crying because I want Mashiach to come. And my friend says to me, did you ever in your life encounter a person like this that is actually thinking about the Geula? So, but these stories are few and far between, which is why it's a story. It's not common. Therefore, because we are not pining really, we're not really incessantly thinking about that we want a change, that we want Mashiach to come on a constant basis, Chazal, therefore, understanding the human condition, and understanding that human beings are adaptable. We have adapted to our situation. We have adapted to our golus. And therefore, Chazal provide us a framework so that we can express our yearning for Yemos HaMashiach in a very prescribed way. Therefore, in davening, right? In Shona Esrei, the Yerushalayim Ircha Barachamim Tashu. We say, Es Tzemach David Avdecha, right? We want Mashiach to come. We want a rebuilt Yerushalayim. Hashiva Shofteinu Kvar Rishona. At the end of Shona Esrei, Yehi Ratzon Shiyubad Beis HaMikdash. If we take a moment even this week to focus on what we say in benching, what if so much of what we say in benching is invoking the Yerushalayim Habniyo, Bnei Yerushalayim, Harachaman Yishaflanu Es Elyon Vizachor LaTov, Harachaman Hu Yolecheinu Kamamius LeArtzeinu, that we want Hashem to lead us erect and secure into our land, Harachaman Yizakeinu Limos HaMashiach. So Chazal instituted a framework where we can express our hope for Mashiach. So on the one hand, we invoke our hope for Mashiach, but on the other hand, we also have reminders that we are in a Chorban, whether it's breaking the glass at a wedding, whether it's leaving a place of our house unfinished. And of course, we find ourselves during the 9 days. We have an intense mourning over the Chorban, a Zecher l'Chorban, which culminates in Tisha B'Av, which is the intense mourning over our loss. When it comes to Shabbos, however, we are prohibited from engaging in Avelos B'Farhesia. Therefore, Tisha B'Av is a Nidche this year, and in many years. Shabbos really is a way to counteract the Avelos. It's an Nechama from the Golos. We can look at Shabbos as a respite, from the Tsa'ar. Any of us who know, Lo Aleinu, if we don't know Lo Aleinu, nobody should know. Anybody that's going through a Shiva period or anybody that's going through a Tsara. Somehow Shabbos gives us a respite. Rabbi Baruch Simon brings down in his Sefer Imrei Baruch, he brings down the Teferet Shlomo or Shlomo of Radomsk, and he explains that Shabbos has this special significance, particularly during our Golos, when we are able to put our mourning aside. And he explains that during the Golos, the Shechina Kaviyachal is in Golos as well. Imo Anochi B'tzara, as it says in Tehillim. But on Shabbos, the Shechina, as it were, emerges from a state of sadness and Golos and resides within each and every one of us. So that the Shechina has left Golos. And Kaviyachal, however you want to understand it, the Shechina is now B'simcha. And this translates into a requirement for us to mimic that emotion of simcha and to hold and to put our emotions on hold and to cease mourning and to also act the simcha on Shabbos. What we say is that Shabbos is a taste. We say me'ein olam haba. The Gemara says it's a tiny piece of olam haba. It's a tiny microscopic feeling, a tiny respite from our golas, and therefore a tiny feeling of geula. And therefore, this turns us to our topic of today. We turn to Lecha Dodi. The composer of Yehuda Halevi Alkovitz greets Shabbos, he greets the Shechina, and along with that, he greets a tiny taste of the Geula. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi Alkovitz lived in the 1500s. He composed Lecha Dodi. He came originally from Salonika, and he ended up in Sfat, and he was one of the Mekubalim. And he, along with the other Mekubalim, had a deep yearning for Mashiach. They thought Mashiach was around the corner. Remember, it was in the 1500s, so it was in the heels of the Spanish expulsion. And Rabbi Yisachar Yaakovson, in his Nesiv Bina, which is a commentary on the Siddur, he quotes from the Encyclopedia L'Toldot G'dolei Yisrael, and these are the words, this is the entry for Rav Alkovitz. Chash b'shiflus hagolos v'tzipa l'geulas Yisrael. He felt the loneliness and the sadness and the loneliness of the Golas, and he was hoping for the geula for Bnei Yisrael. And therefore, continues, he says that much of his longing is sprinkled throughout his Sfarim, but l'cha dodi hu mevateh esevel ha'am tikvaso v'ga'agu'av l'ge'ula. Specifically within l'cha dodi, he is expressing his deep longing. Ga'agu'av is like his yearning, his intense yearning for the ge'ula. If we compare parts of Kabbalah Shabbos to l'cha dodi, we see that whereas the Mizmorei Tehillim that are chosen for the beginning of Kabbalah Shabbos represent Hashem's sovereignty over the world as creator, in l'cha dodi the theme is an intense longing for the geula and the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. This is the emotions of l'cha dodi. It is Rav Alkovitz's sense that he was literally on Shabbos. He was greeting Shabbos like me'ein olam haba. It was a tiny taste of the geula. And we know, L'cha Dodi L'kras Kala, Shabbos in L'cha Dodi is likened to a living, breathing entity, something tangible, like a queen, like a bride. And this was, this is really an incredible, this incredible, beautiful description of Shabbos as a queen and a bride. And there is this sprinkling and yearning for the Geula along with it. And what L'cha Dodi does is it borrows phrases and concepts from Tehillim, from Yeshayahu, from Yirmiyahu, and he weaves that into this beautiful piyut called L'cha Dodi. Much of the theme of Geula, longing for hope, it's that's what it encompasses. And I was mentioning to my cousin, his sister, this is who we are dedicating the shir to, Dr. Abigail Rock's brother, Avamari Pupko, mentioned to me when I asked what I'm speaking about. He pointed out that whereas the Nevi'im Achronim, particularly Shayahu, compares the relationship between Yerushalayim and Bnei Yisrael, or Hashem and Bnei Yisrael, as a chasen and a kala, here Rav Alkabitz is also comparing Shabbos and the relationship between Shabbos and Bnei Yisrael as a chasen and kala as well. That is what he is doing. Whereas the Navi, and we see through Lecha Dodi, the Navi, whereas in the Navi, Bnei Yisrael are greeting Mashiach or Yerushalayim as a chasen greets his kala. In Lecha Dodi, Bnei Yisrael are greeting Shabbos, and together with Shabbos, they are also greeting the Geula. So Bnei Yisrael greets a rebuilt Yerushalayim. Here, Bnei Yisrael are greeting Shabbos, and through greeting Shabbos on a weekly basis, as we have said before, we get a glimpse into the microscopic view of Mashiach and Geula. So according to Yeshayahu, we find Nechama in hoping for Mashiach, and according to Rav Alkabitz, we find the Nechama in keeping Shabbos, and through that, a tikva, a hope for the Geula. The connection between Shabbos and the Geula is further highlighted by the Otsar HaTfila, which is also a commentary on the Siddur. And he brings the very famous Gemara in Gemara Shabbos that says, Ilmalei mishamrim Yisrael shtei Shabbosos kehilchasan miyad nigalin. If Bnei Yisrael were to keep two Shabbosos, immediately the Jews would be redeemed. Rabbi Jacobson brings this down, also quoting from the Otsar HaTfila as well. That is to say, the true and complete Nechama will occur when Bnei Yisrael keep Shabbos. And in the words of the Otsar HaTfila, the words are so beautiful, Ve'ata k'she Yisrael mikablin es ha-Shabbos l'shamra k'hilchasa yinachem es Yerushalayim. When we keep Shabbos, what this does is it brings a Nechama to Yerushalayim itself. Ve'itein tikva b'liba shekrova g'ulasa lavo, and it brings hope in her heart, in the heart of Yerushalayim, that the Geula is imminent. And when you looked at this parash, you just can't help, you just can't escape the fact how there is a beautiful parallel between this description of Yerushalayim as a living and breathing entity, Tein Tikva B'liba, that Yerushalayim is like dynamic, it has a heartbeat. And obviously this is paralleling much of the Navi, which describes Yerushalayim as a living and breathing entity, right? Thus, one example is in Megillas Eicha, Yirmiyahu describes Yerushalayim as Bacho Tibche Balayla V'dimasa Lechia, right? Yerushalayim herself is crying. Yerushalayim has tears because of the desolation, because of that her children have left her. So this is, in the words of the Otsar HaTfila, V'tein Tikva B'liba Shekrova G'ulasa Lavo, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful way of expressing. So what I'd like to do is look at the handouts that I have prepared for you, and as you see, they are color-coded because, as we said, much of the piyut is taken from many sources in Tanakh, and let me state that this is by no means an exhaustive list at all. There are other references, so if you think it sounds familiar from other places, you're probably right. But I chose to put on the handouts just those that I will be speaking about today. So let's look. And I chose to start from the third stanza because that's when really it begins to speak about the Geula and the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. Mikdash Melech Ir Melucha, Kumi Tzi'i Mitocha Hafecha, this is from Lecha Dodi, that Yerushalayim, which is the seat of kingship, should come out from amongst the, from out of the turmoil, because Rav Lach Sheves Ve'ema Kavacha, you have sat enough in the valley of thorns, or the name of a place is Baka, the difference of opinion. V'hu Yachmol Alaychem Lana, Kadosh Baruch Hu will have mercy on you. And if we see Ve'ema Kavacha, if we look in source number one, this is a reference in Tehillim, Pei Dalid 84, Pasuk Zion, Ovrei Ve'ema Kavacha Ma'ayan Yishisuhu Gam Brechos Ya'ateh Moreh. What this is telling us is that this Tehillim speaks about the longing of the Jew in exile to return. It also speaks about the trip to be Ole Regel. But that trip over the Emek HaBacha, over that Valley of Thorns, turns into, we will regard it as a place of springs. Yalchu mechayel achal yira'eh el Elokim b'tzion. When they make that pilgrimage to Tzion, they have gone from strength to strength. And on another level, during the time of Mashiach, they will see that all of those valleys of thorns and all of those tzaros that they had to endure brought them to this place. Mechayel el chayel gave them character. It built the Jew, and that and that it gave them a tremendous amount of strength. So the city of Yerushalayim, Mikdash Melech Ir Lo, come out from out of the turmoil and see that when you go to greet Sion, you will look back and see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have rachmanis on you. Furthermore, V'hu Yachmol Alayich Chemla, this refers to, you look in source number 2 from Yirmiyahu, Perek Tesvav. This is a nevuah about the upcoming exile of Klal Yisrael because of the sins of Menashe. Unasativ leza'ava l'chol mam l'chos ha'aretz b'glal Menashe ben Chizkiyahu melech Yehuda al asher asav Yerushalayim. Because all of the sins that Menashe has done, Yerushalayim is going to suffer, and the suffering will be so intense that ki mi achmol alayich Yerushalayim, who's going to have pity on you, Yerushalayim? Mi anudlach, who's going to walk around to see if you're okay? Mi asur l'sh'olish alomlach, who's going to see, are you in peace? Are you okay? What this is saying is that all of the Bnei Yisrael will suffer so terribly that there will be no one to say, how are you? There will be no one to do nichum aveilim. Because everybody will be suffering the same fate. Umi achmol alayich Yerushalayim. When family members died, when children were systematically murdered, when people were gassed to death, their relatives couldn't sit a proper shiva. There was no one bringing them fruit platters and making a minyan and asking, how are they doing? Ki mi achmol alayich Yerushalayim. This can also be referring to the inhabitants. This could be one referring to the inhabitants of Yerushalayim because everybody was suffering the same fate, but it can also be referring to Yerushalayim itself. That Yerushalayim had nobody to console her, right? Echa yashva badad, ha'ir abasiyam, because nobody was there. That Yerushalayim was desolate. But the idea that this golos, that many of our golios was, the experience was that everybody was sharing in the same faith, that there was nobody to do nichum aveilim. Rabbi Avram Leib Scheinbaum in his booklet, Benim Shel Torah, brings down an account of Rav Yonah Emanuel's experience in the Westport concentration camp right outside of Bergen-Belsen. And he records in the book that he wrote that he asked the Jewish kapos if they would allow him to go inside the crematorium to see what was going on. All he saw all day were people loading sacks and sacks and loads of bodies, many of them babies. And the following are his words describing the sight. The silence of death surrounded me when I entered. I was shaking from head to foot and choked with emotion. Suddenly I heard voices, and I shuddered as the thought entered my head, are the dead speaking to one another? I walked on nevertheless, and now I heard the voices with greater clarity. Somewhere, people were praying. The voices were coming from over to the right. I walked that way and discovered a small room in which a group of Jews were sitting and reciting Tehillim with a tone of sad melancholy. And he continues, I can't even say this, it's sort of, I do not know if they saw me, but I saw them. Their echoes, their clothes like mine, sported the yellow patch. These were the men of the Chevra Kadisha, who were responsible to carry the bodies to the ovens. They recited Tehillim in memory of the dead after carrying each sack of bodies. Later on, I discovered that before any bodies were burned, these men made every effort to prepare them as if for burial in accordance with Jewish custom. Mi achmol alayich, right? Who's going to have mercy on you? This is the response. The Halcha Dodi is a response that in the time of Mashiach, you will see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have mercy on you. V'hu yachmol alayich. The idea of compassion is so central to the Jewish ideology. So to have a nevuah, to hear a nevuah that says, who's going to have rachmanis on you? It is so devastating. The trademark of a Jew is Baishanim, or Baishanim, Rachmanim, Gomlei Chasadim. The first bracha that we say in Shemona Esrei, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanara, Kel, Elyon, Gomel, Chasadim, Tovim. This is something that we cannot wrap our heads around. But we do know that there is a Hashem and Elohim. There is a God and Elohim. When God gives us punishment, it is tempered with mercy. And this, interestingly, is something that Paro could not wrap his head around. I just attended a class by, her name is Mrs. Debbie Lane. She's a teacher of my, Astoria teacher in Beis Yaakov of Ramapo, and she spoke about pre-war Europe. And she brought the phenomenal class that I attended, and she brought the account of Rav Gershon Weiss, who wrote the book, The Holocaust and Jewish Destiny. And she And Rav Gershon Weiss speaks about the paradox that Paro could not understand. And to quote from him, one of the most perplexing problems Paro faced in his dealings with Moshe and the paradox he observed in God's actions. On the one hand, God punished him with terrible punishments and threatened him with death. And on the other hand, God himself humbled himself to approach the Egyptian monarch through emissaries who begged Paro for permission to let the slaves leave to worship. These are puzzling questions. And there are other questions. In God's name, Moshe advises Paro to protect the animals and slaves from the plague of hail. Is this God of wrath or of mercy? Paro views God's and man's modus operandi in black and white terms. Either one is strong and mighty, or one is weak and pathetic. Paro could not understand that if God was punishing us din, yet it's tempered with mercy. We know that there is a Hashem Elohim, but he could not wrap his head around that. It's ironic that Hitler, listen to some of Hitler Yimach Shemo's quotes that Mrs. Lane also brought. It's unbelievable when you think about Rachamim, right? Mi yachmol alayich. Who's going to have mercy on you? This is Hitler Yimach Shemo's, some of his quotes. It is true we are barbarians. This is an honor to us. We free humanity from the shackles of the soul and the degrading suffering caused by a false vision called conscience and ethics. The Jew inflicted two wounds upon mankind, circumcision on its body and conscience on its soul. They were all Jewish inventions. The war of dominations is waged only between the two of us. These two camps, the Jews and the Germans, everything else is but deception. We must be ruthless. We have to regain our clear conscience as to the ruthlessness. Hear the paradox. Only thus will we purge the people of their softness and sentimental and genial nature. It is my duty to use every means to train the German people to cruelty and to prepare them for war. A violently active, intrepid, and brutal youth, that is what I am after. Youth must be all this, indifferent to pain. There must be no weakness and tenderness. Umi yachmol alayich, Yerushalayim. This was the Nevuah of Yirmiyahu. Umi yachmol alayich. But then we have, Rav Shlomo Levi Alkovitz tells us, it seems as if God is not there, but no, Chaste Hashem ki lo tamnu, ki lo cholu rachamav. We know that there is a chesed, we can't necessarily see it, but at the end of the day, we will see all of these terrible pieces of the puzzle will be put together so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have mercy on you. But we know that in order to awaken Hashem's mercy, we have to behave with mercy towards other people. It's a famous idea that's brought by the Nesiva Shalom as he quotes the Baal Shem Tov, Hashem Tzilcha Al Yadi Minecha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our shadow. And that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's actions, Kaviyachol, are reflected by our actions. So the way that we behave towards other people is how God is going to behave towards us. So if we want to reawaken Hashem's mercy, change it from Miyachmol Alayef to Vehu Yachmol Alayef, we have to behave with chesed towards other people. Beautiful story was told in an interview with Rabbi Binyamin or Benji Levin, who's the grandson of Rav Aryeh Levin, the tzaddik of Yerushalayim, was an article in the Jewish Action a number of years ago. And he relayed a conversation that he had with a gentleman about his grandfather. And this gentleman told Rabbi Binyamin Levin, he says, I was in a period of life where I had questions and I removed my yarmulke. But one day he saw Rabbi Levin walking towards him. And Rabbi Levin knew this young man because he had been in, been in his bris, he had been in his bar mitzvah, but this young man was embarrassed because he was bareheaded. And therefore he tried to evade Rabbi Levin. He snuck down an alleyway, but Rabbi Levin caught up to him and he said to this man who was bareheaded, he said, did I do anything to hurt you? Because I see that you're trying to avoid me. To which the man responded, I'm embarrassed because of my bare head. And Rabbi Levin responded by taking this man's hand in his and saying, I'm a very short man. I can't really see what's on top of your head, but I can see what's in your heart. And this man told Rabbi Binyamin Levin, he said, everybody else was telling me that I was worthless, that I was a disgrace. But he said, your grandfather, Rabbi Levin, it was his sweet and sincere words of your grandfather that convinced me to put my kippah back on my head. We want to invoke Hashem's rachamim, v'hu yachmol alayich. We have to show that ahavas chinam towards another as well. It's another beautiful explanation also brought by Rabbi Baruch Simon in his Sefer Imrei Baruch, by the Tiferet Shlomo, Shlomo Radamsko, Hasidish explanation, which is not pshat, but certainly Shivim Panim La Torah. Rav Lach Sheves Be'emek Habacha. There's a play on words, Rav Lach Sheves, Rav Lach Shabbos, Be'emek Habacha. That when you are in the middle of Emek Habacha, the Moshe Sarim talk about the Emek Habacha is the 3 weeks, the valley of crying, then Rav Lach Shabbos, then Shabbos will be that much more potent to you because the contrast is that much greater. When we are in the middle of mourning and then we suddenly stop the mourning, then Rav Lach Shabbos, so to speak, that Shabbos will be that much more meaningful to you because you will get a taste of that ke'ula. The opposites are what brings its potency. And this idea can be expressed, Kol Hamas Abel Al Yerushalayim Zochevro Ebesim Chasa. Anybody that is in the throes of mourning over the Chorban of Yerushalayim, he will be Zochet to see it in its glory, in its joy. And we know famously, it doesn't say Yizkeh V'Yira, it doesn't say it that in the future you will see it. It means now, here and now. If we are in a state of mourning and we realize the void that we have, what this does is, if it's constantly on our mind, what we can do is we can envision the opposite. We can envision the inverse. If we're not realizing what we're missing, then we can't really realize or try to imagine what the opposite of that void is. So Kol HaMasabel Al Yerushalayim Zochev Ro'evesim Chasa, Rav Lach Sheves Be'emek Habacha, that we experience and we understand the law so that we can appreciate what that building of the Beis HaMikdash might be like in a later time.
The Rav Arshul said 2 weeks ago, when we started the 3 weeks, that the same pasuk Rav Lach Shabbos Emek, there's something special during the 3 weeks about these Shabbosos that we have to extract that, especially since Shabbat Matamos and Tisha B'Av are both being observed.
Okay, good. So that's very good. That supplements, yeah, thank you. Okay, so now we move to Hisna'ari Me'afar Kumi. The next stanza. Get up and wipe yourselves off from the dust of Gullus. Get up. Liv shi bigdei tefartecha mi, and wear the royal clothing, my nation. When will you be able to wipe yourselves off from the dust of Gullus? When will you be able to wear your royal clothing? Al Yad ben Yishai Beis Halachmi, when Mashiach comes, who is from the house of Yishai, from Beis Lechem, Karva el Nafshi Ga'ala, my soul is close to the Ge'ula. So according to most Mefarshim, Hisnari Me'afar Kumi is shake yourselves off from the dust. Wear your royal clothing. But I think that we can also say, if we're speaking about the time of Mashiach, Hisnari Me'afar Kumi, what does this invoke? Wiping yourselves off from the dust? I think it invokes the idea of Tchiyas HaMeisim, that there will be a time where there will be Tchiyas HaMeisim, and then we will be able to wear our royal garments. The idea that Malbim, I believe, brings down, maybe it's the Otzar HaTfila brings down, what does it mean, Livshi Bigdei Tefartecha Mi, that you will wear your royal clothing? It's speaking to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim now is bare of clothing. It is bare of the people that should be there permanently. But in the time of Mashiach, you will be wearing that royal clothing, namely Knesset Yisrael, who will come into your borders. So this idea that is not a rime of Farkumi, during the time of Mashiach, there will be Tchiyas HaMeisim. Another story about Rav Ari Levin, which is funny, it's just happens to be that I have two accounts in a row about Rav Ari Levin. It was not the Kavana, it just happened. I guess nothing's coincidence, but a story is told about a woman who was understandably inconsolable over the loss of her son during one of the Israeli wars. And somebody took her to the kever of Rav Ari Levin, and it was at this kever where she finally found some solace, because on Rav Ari Levin's Matseva are inscribed the following words. Ani, this is, if you want to go see the kever, I haven't seen it, but on the Matseva it says, Ani mevakesha kol mi sheyavol hishtateach al kivri sheyomar bepemalei. Anybody that comes and wants to prostrate himself on my Matseva, anybody that wants to come and visit my Matseva, he should say bepemalei with utmost sincerity. What should he say? This is inscribed, Ani ma'min b'muna sh'leima sh'tiyat chiyas ha'meisim b'eish she'ale ratzon b'eish ha'bereis rashamo b'yisale zichro la'ad u'lenetzach netzachim. Anybody that comes to my kever, says Rav Ari Levin, this is what he wrote in his tava, you should say b'pe malei, with utmost sincerity, I believe in the resurrection of the dead. The notion that there will be a chiyas ha'meisim is what brought this woman solace. And it is this inscription giving solace and hope to whomever visited his kever, even posthumously. Hisna'ari me'afar kumi, there will be a time of Tchiyas HaMeisim. How will we get to that point of his na'arime ofer kumi, that we wipe ourselves off from the dust, from the lowliness that we feel of the golus? How do we get to that point by the next phrase? First of all, let's look. His na'arime ofer kumi. This is related to in source number 3. His na'arime ofer kumi. It's pasuk 2. His na'arime ofer kumi shvi Yerushalayim. His pachti mosrei tzavarech shviya. I can't, that's cut off. Bastio, thank you. Shake off the dust. Sit on your throne, Yerushalayim. Loosen those bonds, right? Lifshi, and then we have source number 3 again. We'll go back to Pasuk Aleph. Uri, lifshe uzech tzion. Lifshi bigdei tefartech Yerushalayim, ir hakodesh. Ki lo yosif yavo od arel v'tameh. Loosen those bonds, because no more will an impure person walk on your ground. But how do we get to that point? How do we get to that point where we will reach that point? The next stanza, his ovary, wake up. Ki va'orech kumi ori, because your light has come. Come, your light, my light has come. Uri, uri, shir daberi. Wake up and sing a song. Kavod Hashem alayich niglah, because the kavod of Hashem is revealed. And this is in reference, as we see, look at the color coding, his ovary, in Pasuk, in Yeshayahu, in source number 4, his ovary, kumi Yerushalayim asher sasis miyad Hashem es kos chamaso es kuba'as kos hatar'ela shasis matzitz. Wake up, you who have drunk the cup of poison, you've experienced the Quranus, you have experienced the punishment of God, but now it's time to wake up and realize that Mashiach has come. But on another level, how do we get to that point that Mashiach will come, that we will see a Geula? By waking up. Says the Ibn Ezra, this is a reference, is a mashal, comparing Klal Yisrael to a man that has fallen asleep because he has been drunk. He has fallen asleep and he's totally oblivious and impervious to events around him. He's sleeping off his drunkenness. In the words of the Ibn Ezra, Derech Mashal LaAdam SheYishtaker, the Lo Yadam Maya Aselo, the Hushochev Nirdam. It's likened to a person who's sleeping off the effects of his alcohol, and he has no idea what's going on. He's impervious to what's going on around him. Now we're waking him up and saying, why do you think you got here to begin with? Isn't that the call of the shofar, which is to waken us in order to evaluate ourselves and to propel us forward? The men will be hearing the shofar in less than a month. What does the Rambam tell us? Uru yishenim mishen nascha v'nirdamim hakitzu mitar demascham v'chipsu v'maseim v'chazru b'tshuva zekru barachem. Remember, what is the shofar? The shofar is a call to us to wake up. And what do we say in Megillas Eicha? Nachpesad racheinu. How did we get to this point to begin with? We have to search our deeds. How do we search our deeds? By his ovary, wake up, Klal Yisrael, and see how we have gotten to this point. We have the ability to become closer to that time period, not by being passive, but by being active participants. Get up and wear your royal clothing. Again, it's an avula for the future, but perhaps it's also a directive to us. How do we approach that time of the Ula? By donning that royal clothing now, by wearing royalty, by acting like royalty, by speaking like royalty, like the Mamlechas Kohen and the Goy Kadosh that we are, that everything that we do should be within the framework of the Torah. We know that one of the reasons that are provided for the Chorban is Shalom Berchu B'Torah Tchila, that they didn't make a bracha on the Torah. It wasn't Lo Hayisa Chashuva Beinem. It wasn't important enough for them. It means that they didn't look at the world through the prism of Torah. They didn't look at the Torah as a gift, as a special, unique gift that they had to make a bracha on. It's not that they didn't learn. It's that they didn't look at it as this special, unbelievable gift that God gave to us. Now, I heard this idea from Ephraim Goldberg, actually. I think he actually spoke in the Five Towns recently. So he brought this idea of Harevna, as to raise our Sefa Befinu, Befiyam Chol Beis Yisrael, and he brings, I believe it was Ravolbi. The Harevna is one, number one, it's make the Harevna is to raise our Secha, that the words of Torah should be sweet to us. But also another idea is Harevna is from the Lashon Irbuvia, like a mixing, that we have to integrate the Torah into our lives, that everything that we do, every event that occurs to us, and every opinion that we form must be through the prism of Torah. Livshi bigdei tefarteich, wear that royal clothing. And then we have in Yeshayahu as well. Okay, so now we have another reference to his ori, hiva orech, in source number 5, in Yeshayahu, perech samach, kumi, again source number 5, kumi ori kiva orech, ukvod Hashem alayach zarach. Get up and see the light, because the light, the kavod, the glory of Hashem is shining upon you. And then, kihineh choshech yichasa aretz va'arafel, whereas you're going to have the light, the rest of the world will be in darkness. I'm at the point that I need glasses. Kihineh choshech yichasa aretz va'arafel le'umim va'alayach yizrach Hashem ukvodo alayach yira'el, whereas the rest of the world will be in darkness, we will have that light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Rivlin in his Sefer on the Haftoros points out that this comes from a parak whose theme is light, that Klal Yisrael are a light unto other nations. And when the time of Mashiach comes, it will be obvious that we are the enlightened one. You know, it's interesting that today, religious and traditional, you know, when we have traditional values and Orthodox or Torah Jews are considered as antiquated, we're considered as if we come from the Dark Ages. We're not enlightened. The rest of the world is progressive officially, and they are enlightened. And if you think about it, what does progressive mean? Progressive seems to be regressive, the way I view it. It's a breakdown of family values. It's a breakdown of the moral fiber. But in the time of Mashiach, the fact that they tried to break down that moral fiber, they did not uphold morality, they will be viewed as the choshech, as sitting in choshech, but Klal Yisrael will be seen as the one who has the alav, ukvodo Hashem alayach yira'eh, ukvodo Hashem alayach zarach, that the light of Hashem will be shining on Klal Yisrael. Kiva orech, the light, that Klal Yisrael will now be viewed. It's about time, during the time of Mashiach, that we will be viewed as the enlightened one. The next stanza. Lo sevoshi, the lo sikomi, during the time of Mashiach. Again, this is Rav Alkovitz's hope. Isn't this fascinating? It's unbelievable that this is a piyut about Shabbos. And on Shabbos, again, I just want to reiterate, on Shabbos, as we're welcoming Shabbos, we are pining away for Mashiach. We're pining away for the Geula. And I think we have to just keep this in mind, that this is a piyut about Shabbos, which is intertwined with our hope for Geula. So, during the time of the Geula, lo sevoshi velo sikomi, you do not have to be embarrassed anymore. Matishtochachiyu matahemi, you don't have to be unsettled or upset. Bachyechasu aniyei ani v'nivnasa ir atila, in you, the aniyim of your city will be able to lean, and Yerushalayim will be built on a hill. Matishtochachiyu matahemi, that is the point where, if we look, jump to source number 7. Matishtochachi nafshi v'tehemi alai. This is from Tehillim. Hochili le'elokim ki odo denu yishuos panav. Why are you downcast? Why are you unsettled? What do we have to do if we feel unsettled? If we are downcast, we feel like we are at the end of our rope. What does Tehillim say? Hochili le'elokim ki odo denu yishuos panav. You have to hope to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because there is hope. You have to just direct your prayer, to direct your hopes and your dreams towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Isn't that what we say in Megillas Eicha? In Megillas Eicha, in the third perek, this is a mourner speaking. It's Yerushalayim speaking. It's the people that are experiencing the suffering, and they're saying, "V'omar avad nitzchi v'tochalti me Hashem." I feel like I've lost everything. I feel like I've lost all hope in Hashem. Zachar ani merudi lana v'rosh. Zachar tizkar v'tasoach alai nafshi. My soul remembers and it makes me despondent. I feel like I am at the end of my rope. There is no more hope. This is what the Jew in exile says who has been through suffering, a person going through tragedy. There's nothing left. What do I hope for? But then, that's the Yetzihara speaking. But then Yirmiyahu continues, if you have these thoughts, what's the next pasuk? Zos ashiv el libi al kenochil, but this is what I have to tell myself. When I get to that point, when I feel despondent, I have to tell myself something else, and then I feel a sense of hope. Chaste Hashem kilo tamnu kilo chalu rachamav, that God's chesed does not finish, it is not over. There is no end to Hashem's rachamim. Chadashim la b'karim rabba emunasecha, there every day I wake up with a renewed sense of, every morning I wake up with a new sense of emuna. Chelki Hashem amra nafshi al kein ochil lo tov Hashem lekovav lenefesh tidrashenu. Good are those that seek hope towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what I hope for. We should never get to that point. Don't get to that point. But I reach out and I hope to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Beautiful stories told about Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld when he was studying in yeshiva in Pressburg. He overheard a conversation between two women. One said to the other, "What did you make for lunch today?" She said, "Oh, I made beans." And she said, the other woman said, "What are you going to make for lunch tomorrow?" So she says, "Shasha, al tiftach pe l'satan. If Mashiach doesn't come, then I'll make lakshin." These were the simple women, but they had this hope that Mashiach was going to come. Mirat Hashem, we should not have to make lakshin and hope that Mashiach will come. Okay, so now we see, yeah, it's a cute story, right? All right, now, V'nivna sa'ir al-tila is referring back to in Yirmiyahu. Source number 8. Ko amar Hashem hineni shav shavus ahalei Yaakov v'mishkanosav arachem. I'm going to return the tents of Yaakov. I'm going to spread out and make dwelling places. I'm going to have rachmanis on you. V'nivna sa'ir al-tila v'armon al mishpato yeshev. And this the city of Yerushalayim, the what will be built on this hill, a complete Yerushalayim, a rebuilt Yerushalayim, and the palace will be sitting on its base. That the Yerushalayim will be rebuilt, and the Beis Hamikdash will be built. And the Malbim says so beautifully, Hinanishuv Shavus Ale Yaakov. There, and within this pasuk, there are three stages of the Geula. First, people are going to come, and they're going to return, and they're going to have very temporary dwellings. Then, slowly but surely, they're going to expand. They're going to expand those dwellings. Right? First, it's Ale Yaakov, then it's Mishkanosav. But then the final stage will be V'nivna sa'ir al-tila v'armon al-mishpato yeshev, says the Malbim, v'achar kach tibanet Zion, kemo shehayisal lifnim, v'achar kach tibane ha-mikdash u'beis ha-melech. Then Yerushalayim will be restored to its former glory. And I can't help but seeing the parallel of history of what's going on today with, you know, people moving back to Eretz Yisrael 100 years ago, 150 years ago, and they lived in shanty towns and literally in tents. So temporary, the living conditions were hard. Now, Baruch Hashem, people are starting to come back to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is now booming. Still not. We're still in Golus. We still need Mashiach. There's still a lot that needs to be disseminated consistently throughout the land. There's so much going on there. We see, I think we see the Chevlei Mashiach, but the ultimate will be when we transition from those two stages to the stage of the Nivna Sa'ir Atila, the Armon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be built there as well. Then we have Yaminu Smol Tifrotzi, V'es Hashem Taritzi, Al Yad Ish Ben Parzi, V'nishmachab Nagila. Again, another reference to the idea that we should build out right and left. We're going to be spreading out so much that that we will, and we're going to bask in Hashem's greatness because Al Yad Ish Ben Parzi, because of Mashiach who comes from the household of Peretz, a descendant of Mashiach, and therefore we will be happy. And finally, V'hayu l'mshisa shosayich v'rachakul kol mevalayich yasi salayich elokayich kimsos chasan al kala, that all of those places that were previously trampled and all those people that took spoils from us, as different ways of interpreting it, should now be despoiled, and we will bask in Hashem's glory like a chasan basks with a kala. So let's go back to Yamin Usmol Tifrotzi, and let's look where that is a reference from in source number 6. This comes from one of the Shiva Dinechemta from Yeshayahu, where it says, Rani akara lo yolada pitzchi ridi v'tzahali lo chalaki rabim b'nei shomema b'nei b'ula amar Hashem. This is speaking about a once sad and sorrowful woman in Akara now is going to burst out in song and in joy because Now Yerushalayim, again, it's Yerushalayim being compared to a woman because now all of her children will be returning to her. And what happens? Harchivi makom alev liyirus mishkanosach. Yatu al tachsochi harichi mesarafi say the sayach hazeki. And they're going to have to pitch more tents and don't be stingy and enlarge your ropes. Ki aminu smol tifrotzi v'zarech goyim yirash v'arim neshamos yoshiv. You're going to be built up. But al tir iki lo se voshi velo si kolmi. You will not be embarrassed. You will not feel shamed. Ki lo tachbariki boshes alumayach tishkachi v'cherpas almanu sayach lo tizkari o. When you come back, don't feel the shame. All of the shame of your mistakes will be forgotten. There will be a clean slate. Lo se voshi velo si kolmi, says the Malbim. Klima and busha are two types of embarrassment. The busha is a humiliation, is an embarrassment as from within. It's a result of our own mistakes, our own missteps, our lack of faith, our veering off, our going to serve avodah zarah. And klima is an embarrassment from without, that when we are forced into golus, that others are mocking us, that we are shamed, that we are humiliated. So from this parak in Yeshayahu, we start off with Rani Akara Lo Yolada, Bnei Yisrael are abandoned, but then that pain will be erased, and lo se voshi velo si kolmi, Hashem is calling Bnei Yisrael back and wants to reunite and assures Bnei Yisrael that all of her sins will be forgotten. There will be no more busha, and there will be no more busha from the nations. That will be wiped away. No more BDS movements, and no more UN resolutions, and no more cattle cars, and no more mass exterminations. Lo se voshi, from your own mistakes, it will be wiped clean, and lo si komi, that memory will be erased from our consciousness. V'hayu l'mshisa shosayv rachakuk komi v'layach, kimsos chasan al kala. This is a reference to our final insert here, is source number 9. Ki yaval bachur besula yivala... See, I can't see. Well, how does that read? Yivalayach banayach... I do have glasses. I'm in denial that I need glasses, by the way.
It's liberating when you go to them. Liberating.
Umezos chasan al kala yasis alayach elokayach. That you will have this, and when you reunite with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to have that reuniting as if, and you're going to experience the joy that a chassan experiences with his kala. And it's going to be a new type of joy. In the words of the Malbim that is so beautiful, he explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take you back, but not like a couple that was divorced, who had a rift in their marriage and that is taken back, but there's some sort of stain on the relationship. It's going to be a new relationship, says the Malbim. Shaloti Yashivas Yisrael Artsam Dome Kishavim El Eret Shah Yisashame Ma Pamechad Kamosha Yalo Isha Vigersha Visham Lakhtov. When you go back to Eretz Yisrael, when you go back during the time of the Geula, it's not going to be like that relationship of a man taking back a wife where there was a rift in the relationship. The land will appear as if it was never destroyed to begin with, as if it was never desolate. You'll never know that people suffered such tragedy. They will be in such peace that you can't even imagine that there was such tragedy in the land. It will not be like a God, Hashem is taking you back like a husband is, like a father is upset with you. When there's a second marriage, when there's a divorce and then they get reunited, it's not simcha b'farhesia, right? It's a diluted type of simcha because there is a fracture in the relationship. There is a stain. This is not what your reunification with Hashem will be, or your reunification with Eretz Yisrael will be. This reunification will be like a first-time marriage of a chasan and a kala who didn't know each other before, and the intensity of the joy is so deep. Hashem will rejoice with you like a chasan rejoices with his kala. We're going to forge a new covenant with God, and we will forget the previous agony that we have experienced. So l'chadodi l'kras pelakanei Shabbos haKabbalah, as we greet Shabbos this week, Emir Tashem, as we greet Shabbos, as a chassan greets his bride, let us hope that this Tisha B'Av, because the Shabbos really is the ninth of Av, will not only be a taste of a geula, but it should be a permanent geula. That B'nai Yisrael should reunite with Yerushalayim HaBnuya, that we should rejoice in our union between Knesset Yisrael and Yerushalayim. We will rejoice in that Giloy Shechina and celebrate with intense joy Kimsos Chassan Al Kala, the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash, the Giloy Shechina. May this Tisha B'Av transform from Miyadon L'Simcha, Mi'eva L'Yom Tov, with the coming of Mashiach and rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash, B'Heira V'Yameinu.
Thank you.